Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? One of the things that Paul told us to do when taking the communion is to make sure that we discern the body of Christ. See, in order to discern the body of Christ, we're going to have to look at this bread, which is the body of Christ, and identify these different things that happened to Jesus in his passion. And God gave us some specific directions on this bread. He said, make it without yeast. It's called matzah bread. And if you look at this bread, you'll notice that it's been beaten and pounded flat. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And you'll notice this bread, the reason it's made without yeast is because yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. You'll notice that there's stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread has been pierced. And Jesus' body was pierced not just when he was on the cross and that Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side, but his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns on his head. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hands. His body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. And every time his body got pierced, he shed blood on purpose for our redemption. And you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. It tells us that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. In fact, that's when Jesus, that was the first time Jesus ever addressed his Father as God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God actually turned his head away from Jesus. Because the sins of the whole world, all the sicknesses, all the diseases, all the curse, everything was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross and the world went dark. Thank God. Because God turned his eyes away from Jesus, he'll never turn his eyes away from us. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure. Because it's not the blood of Adam. It's so perfectly pure because it is the blood of God. And that's why it never dies. And it's still doing what God sent it to do all those many years ago. It's washing away our sins. The blood of Jesus protects us. It's because of that blood of Jesus that we are in right standing with God. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Yes. Praise God, he's alive. He's alive. He is alive. He's alive and doing well. Amen. There's good news for you. The most powerful word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth is standing at the right hand of God praying for you. Amen. That's good news. Also, he's looking over his will and testament to make sure that it gets done in your life. Amen. He just needs a little cooperation from us. Amen. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's good news for us. He's coming back. Not only did he come back to life, and he went to be with his Father, but he's coming back. He's going to come back, and he's going to get us. Amen? We're not stuck in this mess forever. We're not stuck in this mess forever. That is good news. He's coming back. Praise God. We have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes in life's challenges, we get wrapped up in, you know, the hardships. You know, there's mountains. You know, we always have these obstacle course we go through in life. You know, we have mountains, we have valleys, we have hills, we have valleys, we have storms, we have good days, we have bad days, we have all kinds of different things that happen. Life happens. You ever notice that? Life happens. Life happens, and it doesn't always seem to be fair, but it is the way it is, and life is going to always happen. You know, there was a couple guys walking on the road to Emmaus, and they were really downhearted. And Jesus came in there and started walking with them and asked them, why are you so blue? And they said, well, they took our Savior. They hung him on the cross. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting scripture word for word. So don't worry about it. But these guys were really brokenhearted because they were really counting on Jesus to save them. See, they hadn't had the revelation yet how he must come back to life. That's what we base all of our faith on, is that Jesus came back to life. Yeah. In fact, we don't consider people born again if they don't believe Jesus came back to life. The Bible tells us that a man must believe in his heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how we get born again. The Bible tells us when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we are saved. So that's how we get born again. That's how we get saved. But you know something, sometimes we have these challenges and it looks just as dark as it could possibly look. You know, on Friday before Resurrection Sunday, Peter was sleeping. Jesus asked him to go to the Rock of Gethsemane and pray for him and pray with him. Stay awake. Pray. Peter fell asleep. Judas betrayed him. One of his trusted disciples betrayed him. Mary, she's crying. Hope is lost. Death is won, and Satan is celebrating. Jesus is in the tomb. And the soldiers standing guard. There's been a stone rolled into place. It's as dark as it can be. John sat right there at the foot of the cross and watched them crucify Jesus. One of the last things Jesus did was adopt his mother to John and John to his mother. He wanted to make sure somebody was there to take care of his mom. How cool was that? And he doesn't it ever strike you why he didn't pick Peter? Because he told Peter, feed my sheep. Why not take care of my mom? You know, if you read about John, he always addressed himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a revelation of the love of God in his heart. Who better to trust your mom with than somebody that knows how much God loves them? Amen? And that love of God preserved John. And he's the only apostle that didn't die a martyr's death. He lived to be a very old man. I read accounts of him where they would actually carry him into places to preach. They'd carry him and set him down so he could preach. You know, they tried to martyr him one time. They tried to boil him in oil, and it didn't do much. Maybe it improved his complexion, but it bothered them guys so much, they just took him to the Isle of Patmos, exiled him, said, we're done dealing with you. Go over there. Well, he wrote another book. And then he eventually got to come back and lived to be a very old man. The love of God will preserve you. The love of God will actually carry you places that your own faith won't. But you should mix faith and love. There's some people that have a profound revelation of the love of God, but they haven't had much experience with faith. And then there's some people that have a profound experience of faith, and the love of God is kind of shit. But we should mix it all together. Faith works by love. Amen? Amen. So, in these dark times, you know, much like these people had when they crucified Jesus, we certainly need to have a revelation of the love of God for us. You know, we need to believe the love that God has for us. And we need to operate in faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, we come by revelation little bits at a time. It doesn't just all come slammed together, you know. I don't know anybody that got born again and just had the whole Bible app downloaded in them, and they knew it, and they knew how to operate in faith, and they knew how to operate in love. They had it all together. I never knew anybody like that. I have noticed, though, that redemption is a messy process, and God takes us from grace to grace. He takes us one step at a time. He holds us by the hand. He takes us forward. So don't get frustrated. I've seen a lot of people get frustrated because they've been hanging around in church for 2 years and they don't have it all together. Guess what? You're going to spend a lifetime. You're going to spend a lifetime learning. You're going to spend a lifetime being pruned. You're going to spend a lifetime being sanctified. And you're going to have dark times. Even though you're a Christian, you're going to have dark times. Don't worry about it. You're going to get through it. Just for your own edification, look back on your life and remember these times where you thought it was the end, or you didn't think that you could ever take another step, or you thought everything was lost, that it was all over, there was no hope. But if you're here right now, guess what? God has a 100% track record of bringing you through impossible times. Amen. And he's still at work in your life. Now let's look over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 43. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Wow. You know something about God is he's never too late. You know, we may be struggling. We may have been believing God for an answer for a long time. You know, when the disciples were on the boat and they got in the storm and they were out there rowing against the waves and Jesus came walking out on the water. See, they thought it was the end. But what they had forgot was Jesus told them to go to the other side. Even when Peter came back in an account before that, and had to wake Jesus up because they were in a storm. They had forgot. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." We forget. We forget when the storms of life hit us. I didn't say if. I said when the storms of life hit us. Let us remember that Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." Amen. It's not the end. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. You know what he says about you? That I have good thoughts about you. A long life will he satisfy you with. So when we're in these dark times, we need to look unto Jesus. You know, Peter jumped out of that boat in a storm. You know, he called out to Jesus and said, "If it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter jumped out of that boat and he was walking on water. See, he gives us a very important answer to life in this account. As long as Peter was focused on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But it says that he started looking at the wind and the waves and he started sinking. But he did the best prayer anybody can say, said, "Jesus, save me." And they walked back to the boat on water. You know, if we'll focus on his word, you're focused on the answer. All too often we look at the problems and we focus on the problems, and the problems get mounted up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till finally what this one lady told me one time a long time ago, she said, "You're pole vaulting over mouse turds." I got big problems. She's, no, you're just focused on them. And this old guy told me, he said, "You know, fundamentally, everything is okay with you. You know that, don't you?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, 97% of everything in your life is okay. It's the 3% that you're focused on that's messing up your whole world. You're focused on the problem. That's all you think about is the problem. That's all you talk about is the problem. Stop it. Focus on the answer. get your eyes on Jesus and talk to the problem. You know, Jesus said, talk to that mountain. You know, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, shall be moved and gone. Guess what? He wasn't talking about us rearranging the landscape. He was telling us talk to our mountains. Then our mountains could be debt, our mountains could be sickness, our mountains could be an idiot kid running around out there. Our mountain could be any problem that we may face. And Jesus didn't say anything at all about running around talking about that mountain. He said, talk to that mountain. So let's look a little bit before this. Go back over here to John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent him unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus' friend is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place. Now, wait a minute. When your friend is sick, don't you get in the car and rush to their house and help them? That's what we tend to do as people. We tend to get in a hurry. You know, something about God, he's never too late. The way he proved at the tomb of Lazarus, it's never too late. See, Lazarus was in that tomb for 4 days. But he came back to life. You know, wouldn't you think that's pretty late? I mean, they've already got you spiced up and wrapped up, and you're in the tomb for 4 days. That's pretty late. Not too late for God. Also, God is not in a hurry. The Bible tells us to let patience have her perfect work. And we live in such a messed up world right now where we can get information immediately. We can push a button and the information is downloaded now. You know, we can go push a button on the microwave and we can have something hot now. You know, we can go, we have fast food. Did you ever notice? Convenience stores, fast food, everything is for now. We want what we want, and we want it now. So our patience seems to come to an end after about 2 days. You know, we live in the most impatient world we could possibly live in right now. So when the Bible tells us to let patience have her perfect work, we're going to have to change gears. We have to understand not everything is going to be right now. But just know this, it's okay. God's not in a hurry. He knows you're walking on waves. He knows you're in a storm. He knows it's dark. He knows you're at wit's end. But he says, focus on me. One guy told me, he said, be prepared to stand forever and it won't take very long. And just because your answer doesn't come that evening or the next evening, or the next evening, or the next evening, it doesn't mean that you didn't say the prayer right. It doesn't mean that God didn't hear you. He heard you clearly. All of heaven heard you when you used the name of Jesus. And guess what? Because he's alive. Because he lives, he's right there making sure your prayer is perfectly heard. Your answer is there. We just have to receive it. See, God's never in a hurry, but he's never late. When we focus on the answer, our problems shrink. When we focus on the problem, our problems grow. Jesus is our answer. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 28, verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." One account says, go tell his disciples and Peter. See, Peter denied him thrice. Remember that? Jesus didn't hold it against him. I imagine Peter had himself sorted off, feeling really, really bad. Because he made a bold confession about Christ. And Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. But Jesus made sure that that message got to Peter. That angel said, you go tell his disciples and Peter that he's alive. Praise God. He's not going to forget us because we make a mistake. You know, 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's good news. My pastor used to tell me to really rely on grace. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. I promise you, we're going to make mistakes. But the thing we need to do is look unto Jesus. He's the only one that can clean us up. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We're going to blow it. I promise you. The Bible tells us that we have these earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. As long as we are in these earthen vessels, we are hooked to the flesh. We're hooked to the earth. We're going to have a tendency, I promise you, to blow it. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, says, for he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are in right standing because of the blood of Jesus, not our good works. Praise God. Praise God, because if it was the other way around, we'd all be toast. I promise you, we would be very frustrated people. If our blessings and our forgiveness were wrapped up in our good works, we would be beat down. But it's Jesus, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. verse 3. Right? Delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. Jesus appeared to a lot of people. There was a lot of people seeing him. But the truth of the matter is, and that we base everything that we believe on this resurrection. You know, that song, Because He Lives, we can face tomorrow. That song is everything for us today. Because He Lives. That's everything to us. Because He Lives. We live. Because He Lives. We can face tomorrow. See, the thing about it is, all these other religions, the head of their religion is buried in a grave somewhere. We have an empty tomb. Because he's alive. You know, he told his disciples before he was getting them prepared. See, this is one of the things to know about some traditions of the culture is when a rabbi had disciples, if something happened to that rabbi and he died, they considered his disciples orphans. See, Jesus got his disciples together and he said, "Fear not, I will not leave you orphans." That it's important that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. But if I go away, I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We're not orphans. We have His Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us. We have His Holy Spirit to convince us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was the hardest. One of the teachers at our school said, "Go memorize that scripture." That was the hardest thing in the world for me to say. It took a while to get a revelation of that. It takes a while for us to understand that we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. But all of our blessings are wrapped up in that verse. So if we don't believe that we're in right standing with God, we're going to have a hard time receiving anything from Him. Once we do get that revelation that we are in right standing with God and that He loves us like His very favorite child, because we are, and that He loves us with the same love that He loves Jesus with, that opens up that funnel from heaven to earth so we can receive a whole lot better. Amen? We realize that it's not about our performance, but it's what Jesus did on that cross for us. That's how we believe on Jesus. Doesn't the Bible tell us to believe on Jesus? tells us to believe on Jesus. How do we do that? We find out what Jesus did. We find out how that by his stripes we were healed. We're believing on Jesus. We find out that when the Holy Spirit raised him back to life, we got justified freely by his grace. You went to court. Did you know that? You got drug into court. And you got judged. And the gavel came down and said, innocent. Because of the blood of Jesus. When he raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by his grace. Praise God. You also got put into right standing with him. I mean, everything that was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus. When you got born again, that very minute, washed away. That's when you got made a new creature in Christ. A lot of people spend a lot of time wishing they could just start life over with a clean slate. You did when you got born again, you just didn't know it. It takes us a little while to catch up to these new creation realities. What actually happened? I mean, when we first start out, we get a get out of hell free card, right? That I had fire insurance. That was good enough. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. But he started teaching, just like everybody else. We start learning. We go one step at a time. We go one step at a time. And we finally learn that we have to learn how to sit down by faith before we can walk by faith. That means we're going to have to learn to believe Jesus, what he did for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. Then we can start walking by faith. Well, first, we have to learn how to relax in his presence, which is what he always wanted. He wanted to have that one-on-one fellowship, just like he had with Adam. He'd come down to the garden, and he could talk to Adam. Evidently, they walked together in the cool of the morning. And he had so much confidence in Adam that he let Adam name all the animals. And you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God changed one single name of an animal. And then that fellowship got broken. And Adam got kicked out of the garden. Not because God was mad at him, but because the tree of life was in there. And he could not let Adam and Eve live forever in that sin conscience, that sin state that they got into. So he kicked them out of the garden. And then men started coming up with all these ideas on how to get back in contact with God. That's how all these religions came up. And it was always man's attempt to get in contact with God. And God said, that won't do. So he had to build a bridge from heaven to earth. And it took him 3 nails and 2 boards and 1 lamb. Jesus made the way for us to be in contact with God. He said, no man cometh to the Father except through me. So this idea that's been floated around a long time, all over the world, all over the place, that we're all children of God. No. No, no. No, no. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You don't become a child of God until you go through the Son. And then you are a child of God. Amen. This is why people desperately need to understand this. If you're not a child of God, guess whose kid you are? Not your dad. And it ain't good. That's why you need to be redeemed. That's why you need to be washed in the blood. You need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And it's because he's alive and he's standing at the right hand of God. He's always, the Bible tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for us. I mean, he's praying for us. You know that verse in Ecclesiastes, I'm not going to go there, but talks about time and chance happens to everybody. That's a bad translation of that. And it's telling us is that basically Jesus is causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. We're not running by luck. We're running by grace. Amen. And Jesus, our high priest, who happens to be watching over his will, he's, in spite of ourselves, he's trying to get us in the right place at the right time. Look back at your life and see. Look at the rabbit trails you followed getting to Jesus. See, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. But there's a lot of different rabbit trails people follow getting to Jesus. I mean, there's the twists and turns in life that you go through before you finally get to Jesus to be born again. Some of them are amazing. But there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And because Jesus is alive, we have victory. Amen. We have victory even over death. Now, your body's going to wear out, perish, but your spirit is going to live forever. Amen. That's the real you. That's the real you. Praise God. Praise God, we have the victory. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for his death, burial, and his resurrection. We thank you for his passion. We thank you for every beating that he took. We thank you for every stripe that he took on his back. We thank you for every time his body got pierced. We thank you for every nail that went in his body. We thank you that he got on that cross. We know that if Jesus ever left something out, we would have to do it. But because his sacrifice was complete and perfect, we don't have to go back. We live victoriously in Christ Jesus. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and fellowship and snacks.